The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute, locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Taya.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio, with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. Well, this program sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. Well, today, as we weather this COVID-19 pandemic, we are more than ever keenly aware of our parishes and Catholic institutions and their importance in how we worship and develop our relationship with the Lord. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope. They are where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. Why are they essential to our relationship with God? Well, one only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, since we are in the month of March, when we celebrate the Feast of St. Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, well, we look at the rich history and the current ministries the people of St. Joseph Parish in Cuyahoga Falls, that's near Akron in Summit County. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship, and in order to respect the COVID-19 protocols, via teleconference, Father Jared Orndorff, pastor of St. Joseph's, and also parish catechetical leader, Jessica Plospol. And first, Father Jared, well, I must ask you about the extensive history of St. Joseph's in Cuyahoga Falls, a history which even predates the founding of the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. Can you offer us some insight on those earliest years?
Sure. St. Joseph's Parish was founded as a parish in 1831, and it was a response to mostly the Irish who moved into the area who were working on the Ohio Erie Canal. 1831, we were still the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. The Diocese of Cleveland had not yet been formed. And even in this area, being in Summit County didn't even exist. Summit County wasn't made a county until 1840. So, you know, our parish has been here for a while, existing, you know, as a parish, even for several years before we got our first pastor.
That is really pretty amazing. And that first pastor, I understand, came from the first parish in the city of Cleveland. That was, I think, St. Mary's in the Flats. Does that sound right?
Not necessarily. The first pastor of St. Mary's in the Flats was Father John Dillon, and he was appointed pastor of St. Mary's in the Flats in 1835, and he actually died in 1836 at age 29. But he was one of the priests who came down and ministered to St. Joe's before we got our first pastor.
Oh, very good. Right, right.
Actually, him and, Father Stephen Baldwin, who was the first priest ordained in the United States, came through and celebrated Mass. We were generally also taken care of by Saints Peter and Paul in Doylestown, which right now holds the record as the oldest parish in the Diocese of Cleveland. St. Mary's in the Flats only existed for 60 years as a parish. So it was the first parish, but it's not the oldest since it eventually closed.
I see. I must admit, as someone unfamiliar with the development of Cuyahoga Falls and Akron, and you just talked a little bit about that, I had no idea there was such an early establishment of the Catholic faith there in what is now Summit County. I suppose, like most everything, the church kind of followed the economic development in the area?
Absolutely. Well, like I said, we were formed from the South when it comes to the sending of clergy, you know, from the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. So Peter and Paul's in Doylestown was really the first established parish with a pastor there. But as the technological advancements of people moving around continued. St. Joseph, in the 1920s, you had a lot of the Irish who were working on the Ohio Erie Canal. So the area of Cuyahoga Falls and even Peninsula, Mother of Sorrows and Peninsula, was seeing its beginnings around the 1920s. And St. Mary's in Hudson, which became a parish in 1860, and it became a much larger parish because it had both the canal system and a railroad going right through it. So the railroad definitely helped St. Mary's and Hudson to become an area where there were a lot of Catholics.
You know, my understanding is, if I read some history correctly, that St. Joseph's then, after that all was established, actually became a jumping-off point for later establishment of other parishes as the area grew and the Catholic population was, you know, in need of services and liturgy. Does that sound right?
It absolutely is. Actually, the picture we have of Father Nolan here at the parish as our first pastor, he was made pastor here in 1906. But the picture we have of him is him standing in front of Mother of Sorrows Church in Peninsula after doing a First Holy Communion service at that parish. But most of the parishes around here, you know, we would say obviously like St. Eugene's and Immaculate Heart of Mary here in the Falls, but other parishes like Our Lady of Victory in Talmadge and Holy Family in Stowe, obviously Mother of Sorrows in Peninsula and St. Mary's in Hudson, these all, the northern part of Summit County really came as a springboard from us.
You know, it is interesting, and as I know there are listeners from the Cleveland Diocese, of course, to this program, I don't think anyone has that kind of awareness that the diocese itself and our parishes grew so prominently and immediately after establishment in that Summit County area. There's a rich Catholic heritage there, one that I know I wasn't aware of. Do you think that's the case?
Oh, you know, definitely. Summit County is it's an area that's alive and vibrant with the Catholic faith. You know, we've got four Catholic high schools here. We have dozens of parishes. It's, you know, it's a vibrant and amazing place to be. I hear stories from before my time, you know, only being 41, that, you know, there was talk at one point of making Summit County and Stark County into its own diocese back in the 70s, but sort of glad that idea never went anywhere. That would have really hurt the Diocese of Cleveland and the Diocese of Youngstown. Youngstown because Stark County is a financial resource for their diocese, but Summit County because we have always had more vocations from Summit County than we have actually ever needed. Summit County is one of the largest counties to produce priests for the Diocese of Cleveland.
Wow, fascinating, fascinating. When we return, St. Joseph's in Cuyahoga Falls, a true example of a parish serving the spiritual needs of its people for more than a century, on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, with special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support for this program. And this is your host, Bob Tayak. Our interview being conducted via special audio connection as we continue to observe the prudent communication practices during this COVID-19 pandemic. And my guest, pastor at St. Joseph Parish in Cuyahoga Falls near Akron, that's Father Jared Orndorff, and Jessica Plaspol, the parish catechetical leader. And in this segment, we are joined by Mr. Pat Doherty. Now, Pat has been a member of St. Joseph's for 80 years. Actually, when his family moved into the parish, he was 2 years old. And he and his wife have a long history of participation in the parish and school. And we've asked Pat first if you would be so kind to reflect on what St. Joseph's has meant to you and your family and the community.
Oh, thank you very much, Bob. I'm glad to be here. What it's meant to me is that it's home, you know, It's become that. This is my home. This is my parish, and I don't think I want to be anyplace else. I'm very comfortable here. I participate as much as I can, and in the life of the parish. And as a custodian, I get to meet all sorts of people in the parish, and that's a kind of a good thing.
No, it surely is. Now, let's talk a little bit about education. The school's celebrating, yeah, coming up in another year its 100th anniversary. The presence of Catholic education, in fact, you know, how important it was to you. I believe, in fact, were you a member of the first graduating class at Akron-Hoban High School?
Yes, I was. I had that privilege. It was an amazing experience there at Holman.
In that regard, the significance of the school at the St. Joseph Parish in Cuyahoga Falls.
Well, it's had a great impact on the community here in Cuyahoga Falls. The quality of the education and the students coming out of St. Joseph's is remarkably beautiful, really. Their deportment and their knowledge and their respect that they have when they speak to you all speaks of a beautiful, it's just a beautiful thing, really, to talk to these students. I'm very much of a proponent of Catholic education and will try to do everything that I can to promote it and have it continue in the parish.
And it is significant, and to you and your family, you attended school there, correct? And your family,
yes,
as well?
Yes, I did. Yes. Myself, my four brothers, my sister, and my family also, my three children also attended St. Joseph's, as did I and my wife to a certain extent, although she graduated from Immaculate Heart. Yes, we've been a part of the school for very many years.
Well, that's an interesting reflection you have on it. Let's talk a little bit, too, about, oh, what you have witnessed as far as what's transpired in the parish over, you know, literally some 80 years. The Vatican II comes to mind, and I thought you had some interesting
sure.
reflections when we talked earlier about what transpired there. Can you fill us in?
Well, it was a learning experience, I think, on both ends, both by the parishioners and the pastor. It was a brand new thing, you know. We had never done anything like that before, and there were some awkward moments, and there were some learning moments also, where as lay people, we learned a lot about clergy, and the clergy learned, I think, a lot about lay people too. And so it was very interesting.
You know, we should almost qualify by saying, for those who aren't aware of it, there in the late 60s, early 70s, this was the first time the laity was really getting involved in parish development and activities, correct?
That's very true. Well, a lot of us coming in with young firebrands with new ideas, or what we thought was new ideas anyhow, and we would present them to the pastor for his consideration, and we would go back and forth and back and forth, and it was a learning experience for both of us, really.
I think you told me one story, though, about a pastor who, at a certain point, maybe had had enough, or at least temporarily, right?
Yes, he did. He was hard of hearing, and he had a hearing aid. And when he was fed up with everything, he would just turn his hearing aid off. And that was the end of that conversation.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. You even served as the first Eucharistic minister at St. Joseph's?
Yes, I had that privilege, and it was one that I thoroughly enjoyed, and I was very humbled by that ministry throughout their entire time as Eucharistic minister. I had one experience with a pastor. So I took communion to my father, who was ill at the time, and I know how much he enjoyed it, and I would take it over to him after the noon mass, and we'd sit down, we'd discuss readings for the day, and then we'd have a little communion service. And I shared this with the parish council one time. And I suggested maybe it would be a good idea if the Eucharistic ministers, we had more by that time, could take communion to the sick also. The pastor put a resounding no on that. He said, no. He says, I take communion, and I go around to my parishioners once a month. And that was the end of the conversation. Well, it so happens about 6 to 8 months later, the pastor comes back to the parish council meeting. He said, you know, I got this great idea. So all I could do was just sort of roll my eyes to heaven and say, thank you, Lord.
But from then on, you had Eucharistic ministers, I'm sure,
yes,
plentifully.
Yes, we've had Eucharistic ministers at St. Joseph's ever since then, up to this time.
Amen. And, well, thank you, Pat Doherty, for those reflections on some of the history at St. Joseph in Cuyahoga Falls. Coming up, St. Joseph's, its current ministries, its activities and liturgies, on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, and our focus for this broadcast is St. Joseph's Parish in Cuyahoga Falls near Akron, Summit County. I'm your host, Bob Tayak, and my guest via teleconference are St. Joseph Pastor, Father Jared Orndorff, along with Jessica Plaspol, the parish catechetical leader. And Father Jared, first, how has the parish been coping with this COVID-19 pandemic? Tell us about your activities and how you're presenting liturgies.
Well, it's been challenging. It's been a year now that we've had to have similar events, but more of them. You know, I think one of the things we had to first look at was better ways of communicating with our parishioners rather than just over the internet. So right off the bat, when we initially shut down, one of the things we did was to get together a list of all of our parishioners, and we had volunteers who were calling and checking up on each other to seeing if they needed things like groceries, a very, you know, physical, how are you doing, how are you coping? And then as things lightened up, it was a back and forth sort of with what we would be allowed to do and what we wouldn't be allowed to do. Our mailings have increased. The things that we send our parishioners, phone calls, we've really stepped up our game as opposed to just recording a Mass and letting people watch a Mass. You know, we weren't sure how connected people would still feel to the parish just by watching. We still wanted to get more people engaged in doing things.
I always ask this question, Father, during this troubled time for a good year now, how are finances for the parish operations? Has it been a challenge?
It has been. You know, we're down about 25% in our Sunday collection, but we find by and large, you know, people have been still very generous. They've been supportive of their parish and supportive of the outreach that we've been doing.
Oh, very good. As we near the completion of Lent and approach Easter, I think it's worth noting your Lenten program, the Arts and Evening Prayer. Can you tell us about that?
Well, Bob, we decided that for this Lent, we wanted to make sure that we were, you know, still engaging people, but, you know, offering them something a little bit, maybe with a little bit more flexibility, but just something different. So we kind of came up with this idea. We were talking about different, you know, short presentations that we could do. So the focus of this is to really, obviously, deepen our relationship with Christ, but also using different art media to explore that. We looked at church architecture last week. We're going to look at film next week. We're going to do music. We're going to do iconography, you know, all of that. So just, you know, really focus on our relationships and using that art to, you know, really uplift us. And then, of course, close with evening prayer.
Sure. Jessica, so are those done live or do you do them virtually?
They are done live in the church. It offers us enough space, you know, to be socially distant. And so the presentations and prayers are done at the church.
Oh, well, very good, very good. The young Catholic, adult, we keep hearing they're the ones that have moved away from religion altogether. I just wonder, as far as St. Joseph's Parish, how you're approaching them and what kind of involvement have you been able to institute?
From our experience, I think we do have an increase, especially in young families in our parish. Even with COVID, there is a strong desire for them to get involved. We had a young lady who wanted to start a young woman's group, not just for moms, but for all young women of the parish. And even through COVID, they met virtually for a while. They'd meet outside. And that, you know, ministry has been growing and thriving. We also added in 2019 a ministry called Faith Family Fun, where we really wanted to focus on not just young families, but all families in our parish. And we just started doing a lot of small events, like one-time events, not necessarily continual programs. Like we did an All Saints Day celebration and parade. We do a St. Nicholas celebration. And, of course, they look different now. One of the things that we've been doing, instead of offering one big celebration, we've offered smaller, more direct things after Mass. So for St. Nicholas, instead of doing just one thing, we offered it a little bit after each Mass, so there'd be, you know, fewer amounts of people there. But we're hoping to grow this, you know, ministry, offer more options for families to come and participate, and also all members of our parish family as well.
I think if you look at the dynamic of families, it has changed definitely over the past 30 years. So we're not looking right now at the nuclear family of two parents raising children and just trying to go after the youth. I think with more single parent families, with more grandparents involved in raising children, that we had to look at a more generational approach of you know, expressing the faith with the young people. So in these groups and organizations that meet and come together for these events, it really has parents or grandparents able to help and be a part of what's going on with the young people, and then taking that from what we do in their parish to their homes and continue with that teaching and learning.
Have you found a need for increased use of social media in doing such?
I think a bit. We have. You know, I know we definitely put a lot of announcements and messages out through social media, through our e-newsletter. Yeah, we have seen a definite increase in that and being able to utilize that.
Very interesting. Now, if someone is interested or would like to get in touch with St. Joseph's, how would they best do that? Who should they contact and how?
Probably first I'd start by calling the parish office, and then also looking at all the information that we have on our parish website or on our parish Facebook page. The parish website is stjoe.org, or, you know, you can call us at 330-928-2173.
Joe is SaintJoe.org.
Oh, so it's spelled out SaintJoe.org, but that's a good simple one, and that can access.
Sure, the Saint with the ST Joe ended up going to Strongsville, so we had to, you know, work on our own Saint Joe.
We've got it. Well, thank you very much, Father Jared, as well as Jessica. You've been listening to Where We Worship, sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. This is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring St. Joseph's Parish in Cuyahoga Falls near Akron in Summit County. Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life. As written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.